Encouragement is a vital ingredient in Christianity. Here's what I mean. Every Christian at times needs to be encouraged. We all have those times when we need somebody to come to us and just put their arm around us and look us in the eye and say, look, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Encouragement is vital. Because of those times that for every one of us, when we need to be encouraged, but encouragement is vital because there are other times in every one of our lives when we are the one who needs to be giving the encouragement. There are times when it's you that needs to put your arm around somebody and look them in the eye, and you need to say to them, this is going to be okay. So what I want us to do tonight is to study the subject of encouragement. The word encouragement means strength. It means to inspire. It means to offer emotional or moral support to somebody else. So how we're going to study this is that we're going to take a look at encouragement in the life of a Bible character named Barnabas. And here's how we're going to do this. We are going to use Barnabas as an example to help you and I become better encouragers. And I want to say that again so that everybody knows the street we're on. We're going to talk about encouragement, and we're going to use Barnabas, and he is going to be the example that we're going to pull out from Scripture, and from his example, you and I are going to learn how to become better encouragers of each other. So we have four things we want to say about him, and everything is going to come from the book of Acts. And with all four things, we're going to lead with this statement. Barnabas was an encourager because. Number one, Barnabas was an encourager because he was a giver. He was a giver. Let me ask you now, turn to the book of Acts chapter 4. And that's where we're going to begin this study. And at the end of Acts chapter 4, for the very first time, Barnabas steps onto the stage of Scripture. This is his first mention. Acts 4, verse 36. Thus, Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement. Now, let's stop right there because we learned some real important things about him in that first sentence. Barnabas wasn't his name. His birth name was Joseph. But the apostles changed that. The apostles gave him a nickname, and they called that name Barnabas. Now, wait a minute. Oftentimes, You can tell more about a person by their nickname than by their birth name. Hello? Listen, you didn't do anything to earn your birth name. You were just born. And they hang whatever it is they hung on you. But your nickname, usually, it is something that you've done or it's something about you, and so you're then given this nickname. So his birth name was Joseph, but the apostle says, no, we're going to call you Barnabas. Now, the other thing we learn from the verse is that the reason they called him Barnabas is because Barnabas meant encouragement. So I already know a lot about him, and all I've learned is his nickname. Barnabas was an encourager. First, because he was a giver. They called him Barnabas. We're not calling you Joseph. You're not Joseph. You Barnabas, because you're encouragement. Now look at verse 37, and here's why initially they hung that on him. He sold a field that belonged to him, and he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The apostles' feet in that verse is equivalent to the church treasury. Barnabas was an encourager because Barnabas was a giver. The first thing we're told about him is his name, and the second thing we're told about him is that he owned a piece of land, he sold it, and he brought it, and he laid it in the church treasury. Listen. Barnabas was an encourager because Barnabas was a giver, and here's the point to that. Givers are encouragers. And what that means is that tightwads are discouragers. Let me say this about giving. Everybody has something to give. Everybody. You say, well, I can't give land. I don't own any. Well, if you don't own any, then no, you probably can't give any. Well, and I can't give hundreds of dollars because I don't own hundreds of dollars. Well, then you probably can't give hundreds of dollars. But everybody's got something to give. Everybody's got something to give. How about this? We all have 24/7. Can you give time? We all have been endowed by God with an ability. Can you give some of that ability? Everybody has something to give. And here's the thing. When we take what God has given to us, money, time, talent, whatever you've been given, when we take what God has given to us and when we share that with others, we become encouragers. Barnabas was an encourager because Barnabas was a giver. When you give of yourself and whatever else you have, you become an encourager to other people. Number two, Barnabas was an encourager because he helped new Christians to grow. Turn to Acts chapter 8 and let's study this out. Let me show you this. Acts 8. The church begins in Acts 2. And from Acts 2 through Acts 7, the church primarily stays in the city of Jerusalem. At the end of Acts 7, Stephen is stoned to death. And his death has an effect upon the church that's in Jerusalem. Look at Acts chapter 8, the last statement in verse 1. Acts 8, last statement in verse 1. There arose on that day. Pause. What day? The day they stoned Stephen and buried him. The day that Stephen was taken outside the city and stoned to death. That day. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Drop down to verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Now look at me. Stephen is stoned. On the day they stoned him to death, on that very day, there was a great persecution that broke out against the church. So the church, the Christians who had been in Jerusalem since Acts 2, because of this persecution, they all scatter out of the city of Jerusalem. You got the picture? Turn to Acts chapter 11. Look at Acts 11. And verse 19. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen, pause. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19 takes us back to Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Because of his death and the persecution, they were scattered. Now we're reading in Acts chapter 11 that those Christians who had been scattered out of Jerusalem because of that persecution, now we're going to find out how far they have gone. Verse 20. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, that is, those of Greek culture and Greek language, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, here's what we learn. We learn that those who had been scattered in Jerusalem have now traveled as far as Antioch. Now, listen to me. Antioch was the third largest city in the ancient world. Rome, the imperial city, Rome was first. Alexandria in Egypt was second. And Antioch here in Syria was third. Those Christians have left Jerusalem and they've gone as far up as Antioch, the third largest city in the world. Now, what are they doing? They are doing scattered what they've been doing in Jerusalem, preaching the word. Look at verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Look at me again. You got the picture? We've been run out of Jerusalem. Now we're in Antioch, but we're going to do here in Antioch what we did in Jerusalem. We're going to preach Jesus, and as a result of preaching Jesus, we've now got this huge multitude of people who have become Christians. So here's what you got. Here's what you got. You got way up in Antioch, you got this great multitude of new converts. Well, what are we going to do with them? Look at verse 22 and 23. This is where we've been going. The report of this, pause, the report of what? Of everything that's been going on in Antioch. All these new converts, all these people turning to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Woo! Jerusalem, the apostles and the elders in the church of Jerusalem hear what's going on in Antioch. You got all these new converts and all these people coming to the Lord. Now, we got to send somebody up there. Let's send Barnabas up there. Now, why would they decide that the one we want to send is Barnabas? Do you know that's a question we don't have to speculate about? We know the answer to that question. You say, how do we know the answer to that question? Here's how we know the answer to that question. Because when Barnabas gets there, whatever he does, that's why they sent him there. Because he wouldn't go up there and do something that they hadn't instructed him not to do. Do you see that reasoning? Verse 23. When Barnabas came and saw the grace of God, Barnabas was glad, and Barnabas exhorted, Barnabas encouraged, Barnabas inspired them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. We're going to send Barnabas up there because when Barnabas gets up there with all those new converts, he is going to encourage them. Now, wait a minute. They could have sent anybody. Right? I mean, here's Jerusalem. They could have sent anybody. They could have sent a drill sergeant up there. You go up there and tell them they better get their act together, and if they don't, just start smacking them around. You know, they could have sent a drill sergeant up there. But you know who they sent up there? They sent the guy who had the biggest heart in the city of Jerusalem up there. They sent Barnabas up there because they knew when he got there what he would do. He would encourage them. Barnabas was an encourager because he was a giver, and Barnabas was an encourager because he helped new Christians to grow. Now, new Christians need two things from the rest of us, from all of us. New Christians need two things from all of us. First, they need patience. They need patience. And they need it right now. Now, they need patience. Listen, you means we cannot expect somebody who's been a Christian for 6 weeks, 6 months, and sometimes even 6 years to have the maturity that it's taken you 20 or 30 years to get. You can't. We can't expect from a new convert what we can expect from somebody who's been around here forever. Now, that's easy to see. Take it out of the spiritual realm and put it in the physical realm. We don't hand somebody who's 2 weeks old a peanut butter jelly sandwich and say, here, go at it. Remember feeding your kids before they could feed themselves? You remember that? And so now you're teaching them to feed themselves. And so you strap them in that electric high chair. You strap them down in that. And remember, they put the food everywhere except in their mouth. They're putting it up in their nose. And I'm thinking, why is this child putting this in his nose? And they put it in their ear. And when you get through, you gotta sandblast the kitchen and all. Now, that's fine, but when that kid is 20, if he's still doing that, you got other issues. Listen, we had to be patient with them. And the second thing we have to do is we have to encourage them. Because I'm telling you, if we don't encourage them, they're not going to be encouraged. Because the only encouragement they're going to get out there is to come back from where they've left. Barnabas was an encourager because he was a giver. He leaves me that example. Barnabas was an encourager because he helped new Christians to grow. Number three, this is real important, number three. Barnabas was an encourager because he helped defeated Christians to find a place of service. He helped defeated Christians to find a place where they could serve. Turn to Acts 9. In Acts chapter 9, something very significant happens. Beginning with verse 1 and following, Saul of Tarsus is converted. Saul is converted. Saul was the great enemy of Christianity. He was the great enemy of Jesus Christ, and now he's one of us. Now, go back to chapter 8 for a second, and let me show you this. Look now at the beginning of verse 1 in Acts 8. And Saul approved of his execution. When they stoned Stephen to death, it was Saul who was holding the coats of those who were stoning him, and he gave his approval. In other words, when they stoned Stephen, Saul, who was holding the coat, stood there and said, he got just what he deserved. That was Saul. Look at Acts 8. Look at verse 3. But Saul was ravishing the church and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now, hold on to that a minute. Here's a guy going door to door and busting in houses. You're one of them? Take him. Take her. Take them. They're going to jail. How would you like to be sitting at home and the door just come busting open and people walking in without a search warrant of any kind? You belong to Jesus? You coming with us. That's what he was doing. Look at now, chapter 9 and verse 1. But Saul was breathing threats and murder. Threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Verse 2. He asked for letters to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found any that belonged to the way, the church, men or women, he might bring them back bound to Jerusalem. Now, this is the guy who's converted. This is the guy who's converted. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. When Saul was converted, he was a man without a country. Think about it. Where's he going? He gets out of baptistry. Where's he going? Listen, he can't go back to his old friends. They'd have killed him. Listen, brother, you haven't betrayed us. You betrayed the forefathers. You've stomped on all, everything that we've ever lived for. They'd have killed him. So where's he going? He can't go to the church. They don't trust him, and I don't blame them. Amen? Oh, he's converted now. No, he ain't. That brother went in my mama's house 2 weeks ago and drug her out of the house and put her in jail. No. No. That man put his hands on my mama. Right? I ain't got nothing to do with him. He's a man without a country. Look at Acts 9, verse 26. And when Saul's the he, had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. I don't blame him. Well, no, he's one of us. No, he ain't. This a ploy. He just think he's slick. That conversion ain't real. He just whisked on Ananias. Listen, he's telling us he's a Christian, and when we let him in, he will scope us out, and we all gonna be with my mama in jail. Verse 27, here it is. But Barnabas, there he is. But Barnabas took Saul and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road Saul had seen the Lord had spoke to him, and how in Damascus he had boldly preached in the name of Jesus. Verse 28, so he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of Jesus. Brethren, listen to me. If Barnabas had not stepped in, if Barnabas had not taken him by the hand and brought him personally to the apostles and said, this man deserves a chance, who knows what would happen to Saul even before he started. Barnabas was an encourager because Barnabas helped defeated Christians to find a place where they could serve. Now, let me tell you something about people who are Christians who are defeated. Christians who just make a mess. Two things. Number one, we need to think the best about people and not the worst. The world is divided into two groups. Those who think the worst about everybody and those who think the best. Which group are you in? Which group are you in? You say, well, they will use me. Now, this is me, but I had rather be used a few times to help even one person than just to cut everybody off and cut the throat of that one person. Because sometimes I just can't figure out if people are real or not till I deal with them for a while. Now, maybe you've figured all that out, but I'm not smart enough to figure all that out till I have some dealings with them. And the second thing, you got to be careful about holding people's past against them. Because you got a past too. You got to be careful about holding people's past against them. I mean, listen, if every time somebody messes up, we're going to take them out here in the back, that empty garage back there, and shoot them, better be careful. Because it won't be long, there won't be enough of us left to pull the trigger. Because we all messed up. We all be back there in that garage, stacked up like firewood back there in the garage. Amen. I'm talking about you. You messed up. Barnabas, here it is. Barnabas was an encourager because he was a giver. Barnabas was an encourager because he helped new Christians to grow. And Barnabas was an encourager because he took folks who were just utterly defeated and found a place where they could serve. Number four, quickly. Quickly. Barnabas was an encourager, listen to me, because he accepted his role. He accepted his role. Let me show you something you've never thought about with him. Turn to Acts 13. In Acts, the 13th chapter, Barnabas and Saul are about to head out on the first missionary journey. This is where all this is starting. Now, I want you to note, this is important, the words are the way they are in the Bible for a reason. And you'd be amazed at how many people don't know that. Look at the order of the words here. Acts 13, look at verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, now watch the order, Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Barnabas and Saul. Drop down to verse 7. Drop down verse 7. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the Lord. You got it? Now, drop down. To verse 43, Acts 13, verse 43. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many of the Jews and the devout converts to Judaism followed, watch it, Paul and Barnabas. Well, wait a minute. Well, what happened to Barnabas first? In Acts 13 and verse 43, it switches. And from that verse on, Paul is always mentioned first. Listen, Barnabas continued to play a very important role. But what becomes obvious from this point on is that Paul takes the lead in this. What becomes clear from that verse, and just keep reading through, is that Barnabas is pulled out of the main event. And Paul's put in there. And every time now, it's never again Barnabas and Saul, or Barnabas and Paul. It was now always going to be Paul and Barnabas. Listen to me. That was fine with him. Did you hear me? More congregations have been messed up than you can say grace over about people who were worried about who was going to get the credit for something to happen. That's just truth. That's just truth. We must never make it about us. It ain't never been about me. I don't want it to ever be about me. Because if we're going to pat you on the back when it's good, when it gets bad, we're going to stomp on you. First Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. The Bible says that God has arranged the members in the body the way he wants them. You are where you are in the body of Christ. You do what you do in the body of Christ. You've been given the ability you've been given in the body of Christ, because that is exactly where God wants you. And I'd rather be exactly where God wants me than be anywhere else. And if God wants me to ride a bike, I'd rather ride a bike in January than drive around in a Stingray. Well, I mean, unless it got real, real cold. But so here it is. Barnabas is our example to become better encouragers. He encouraged because he gave. Just give. Well, I ain't got much. Then you can't give much, but you got something. You are something. You can do something. Barnabas was a giver because he gave. He was a giver because he helped new Christians. He was a giver because he helped, in this case, somebody that nobody else helped. And he was a giver because he accepted where his role was. And when you and I do those four things, then we become encouragers. If you're subject to the invitation, you come now as together we stand and as we sing.